Genesis chapter 6. Our text this morning is going to be verse 9 through 13. Genesis 6, verse 9 through 13. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. In Genesis 4 and 5, through the genealogies of Cain's wicked line and Seth's godly line, God brings us through about 1,650 some years. You can do the math and you can figure that out for yourself if you look at the information given, the ages of those given and when they died and so forth. But from the creation of Adam to the time of Noah is about 1,600, I think it's 58 years to be exact. And God brings us to Noah in verse number 1 through 22 of Genesis chapter 6. He is building, if you would, a foundation in which he's bringing us to the sending of his judgment, the sending forth of the flood. He is preparing Noah for the building of the ark, which will lead to the saving of his soul, the saving of his old house. A couple of weeks ago, our text was verse 1 through 4. And you find there in verse 1 through 4 a description of the wickedness and the sinfulness of man and God's prophesying and telling forth his destruction of all things. And in our text from 2 weeks ago, verse 5 through 8, you find the same thing. Some description of the wickedness and the corruption of the world and man and what God's going to do about it. And in our text this morning, verse 9 through 13, you find those same things. In all three of these portions of Scripture, you have that expression, the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said. In verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, and that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And the Lord said, I'm not always going to strive with man. I'm going to give him 120 years. I'm going to deal with this situation. In verse number 7, that second portion, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of this earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. The Lord said, I will destroy them. I'm going to. I'm leading them. up to that. In our text this morning, you find likewise in verse number 13, "And God said unto Noah." And God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And after these steps, after laying these building blocks, in verse number 4, God gets around to the ark. And in giving Noah instructions about building the ark, and God said, "I'm going to do this." And God said, "I'm going to do this." And God said, "I'm going to do this." And God eventually says, "Get started, Noah, for it is upon us. I am going to do this." In verse number 9 of our text, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. This is the descent. You could say this is the history. I don't have any problems with saying this is the record of Noah. This is the record of Noah. This is what God wants us to know about Noah and his generation. Noah was a just man. It does not say he was just a man. Just like in the case of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, it doesn't tell us that Lot was just a man. But that passage of Scripture, the Word of God tells us that Lot was a just man. And here in our text, Noah was a just man. He was a justified man. He was a lawful man. He was a righteous man, is what God is saying. He was a just man. He was perfect in his generations. Relationship to those coming before and after. But again, as we think about his record, he was a just man and he was perfect in his records. In the reviewing of his life, the word perfect does not mean flawless, as we would interpret it today. But the word perfect there means he was entire. He was complete. He was full. So he was a just man, justified, lawful, righteous. He was perfect in his generations, entire and complete and full. And then verse number 9 tells us that Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. And last week we read from Amos chapter 3, verse number 3, where it says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" So these are the records of Noah. He was a just man, a righteous man, a perfect man, entire and complete. He was a man who walked with God. In the days that are coming into view, in Genesis chapter 6, this is the record concerning Noah. A just man, a perfect man, and one that walked with God. And verse number 10 tells us, Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's not the birth order. Shem was not the eldest. They're not in that birth order. But as we come to this time in which Noah lived, and we come to read the record of Noah, we're told that he had three sons. And it's through those three sons that he and his family will enter into the ark. The flood will come. All mankind is going to be eliminated. And it is through those three sons that the world is going to be repopulated. All the peoples of the earth, as they are today, came through those three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And we can study what the scriptures tell us, and we can arrive at some conclusions on where the populations of the earth were made by these three sons. From Shem came the Jewish people, the Semites, the Semites. It's where we get the term anti-Semites, anti-Semitics. These are those people known as Semites, Semites. They came through the line of Shem. And these three sons will be used of God to repopulate the earth after God cleans the slate. Verse 11, the earth was corrupt before God. Several times the earth is described. A few times the word corrupt is specifically used. Throughout this passage of scripture is God's giving his estimation, God giving his conclusion, God giving his opinion of man. As we saw last week, his conclusion is man is totally depraved. All of his thoughts and all of his ways and all that goes through his heart, it's only wicked continually. The earth was corrupt before God. See, it doesn't matter if we think it is or not, or if we agreed with the estimation. It really doesn't matter how the world appears before us. But the world was corrupt before God, in God's opinion, God's estimation, compared to God, compared to how he originally made man and pronounced it good there in Genesis 1 and 2. Here, the world, the earth, all of the earth is corrupt before God, and the earth is filled with violence, cruelty, injustice, wrong. In verse number 12 tells us, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. See, look at the depravity indicated throughout these verses we've looked at last week and this week. Consider the far-reaching depravity, the fullness of depravity, the total nature of depravity. God looked upon the whole earth. He didn't look at just one side, one part, one corner, one crevice. The whole earth was corrupt before him. And he looked upon the whole earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all, A-double-L, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. That's what God saw. When he looked upon the earth in these days that we read about, in the days of Noah. And in verse number 13, and God said unto Noah, he has looked and seen the condition of man, and he speaks in verse 1 through 4. He sees the condition of man, and he speaks in verse 5 through 8. He speaks about the condition of man in the world, and he speaks in verse number 9 through 12, 13. Now God speaks specifically to Noah. The end of not some, not most. The end of all flesh. The end of all flesh has come before me. For because the earth is filled with violence through them, through man. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. The Lord sees this condition and speaks. First part of this text. He sees and he speaks in the second portion. He sees and he speaks in this third portion of Genesis chapter 6. I will destroy them. And it'll be upon that declaration in verse number 13 that God says to Noah in verse number 14, make thee an ark. Make thee an ark. I'm going to destroy it all. Not just all men, all beasts, all air-breathing animals. I'm going to destroy the surfaces of the earth, all the surfaces of the earth. The earth is going to be totally covered with water, many feet over the highest point. And upon this pronouncement, Noah is told to build an ark. To build the ark. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I can say without hesitation, Noah was saved by grace. Saved because of grace. But we also see in this passage of Scripture, he was a just man. As I said a moment ago, that means he was a justified man. That means before God, he was seen as a righteous man. And the Bible tells us, look at Romans 5. Brother Luke didn't leave me much outline left today. But we'll try to do the best we can, which is usually not a problem. Noah was a just man. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says what? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How is somebody justified? By faith. If you're here and you're saved and you've been justified, how were you justified? By your faith. By believing God, by believing what God said. We're justified by faith. There's no other way. So when it tells us that Noah was a just man or a justified man or a righteous man, he's justified and he's righteous because of his faith. Because of his faith. Over in Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11 doesn't get any plainer than this verse concerning Noah, his justification, the faith that was a part of that. Verse number 7 of Hebrews 11, by faith Noah, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, Okay, it says, by faith Noah. Then it describes what he did according to faith. And in the last part of verse number 7, he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He was a just man. He was a justified man. He was a righteous man, justified and righteous before God through faith. Psalm 37. Verse 37. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright man. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. We can say that in regards to Noah. Mark him. Look upon him. The end of all those who have justification, the end of all those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what God has told us about Jesus Christ. The end is peace. So as we go back there to Genesis chapter 6, I want you to notice that Noah is the complete package. Do you have the complete package this morning? Noah had the whole thing. And it's worthless and it's useless and it avails none at all not to have it all or just to have parts of it. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I have a new favorite definition for grace. My new favorite definition of grace is the sovereign favor of God. That's grace. God is sovereign over it. We have no part in it. It's the sovereign grace, the sovereign favor of God. That's grace. And Noah had experienced the sovereign favor of God. He was saved by grace. He was justified by faith. He believed God and he moved with fear, evidencing that faith. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was justified by faith. He was perfect. He was complete in all his days and all of his times. And he walked with God. That's the complete package. Saved by grace, justified by faith. Perfect and complete in our work and in the evidence of our salvation. And walking with God. Do you have that today? I think it behooves every one of us to truly examine ourselves. And do we really have this? Have we been saved by grace, given faith to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore being justified, walking with God, and being perfect and complete and entire in our life? I thought about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10, which presents to us the perfect package, the complete package. For by grace you are saved. Salvation is by grace. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, We are his workmanship, his work. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Saved by grace, justified by faith, perfect in our lives and in our behaviors, walking with God. All of that is by grace, working of God within our life. He had the whole package. Does you no good to only have parts of it? Do you boast of salvation by grace? Do you boast of having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, James asked the question, okay, what evidence, what justification do you then give of your faith, that you give of your salvation? It's by our works that we're also justified. So we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So he has created us to do his works and evidence our salvation by our works. Understand what James is saying. We're justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're also justified by works. Does not mean we're saved by our doing. Means we're justified in our claims of salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified in making those claims as evidenced by our life. As evidenced by our life. Are you saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you his workmanship created unto good works in Christ Jesus? Bringing forth works, bringing forth fruits that say, I know the Lord. I've been with Jesus. I'm saved by grace. I praise God for his sovereign favor. I praise him for the faith he gave me to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And because of that, I evidence these things by my works, by my life. I want the whole world to know I've got the real thing. I've got the whole package. I've got it all. Because I'm saved by grace through faith, and I am perfect and complete in my times like Noah, I walk with God. You can't have grace, faith to your justification, then jump over your life and jump over your works and jump over your life of deeds. You can't go from justification by faith, jump over, I'm walking with God. You're not walking with God if you're not perfect and complete and entire in your life, in your conduct. Noah had the whole package. Amen. Salvation by grace, justification by faith, with the workmanship of Christ, perfect in all of his times. He walked with God. He walked with God. Do you have the whole package? If you don't have the whole package or you don't have any part of the package, salvation is still lifted up. Jesus Christ is still lifted up as crucified to save sinners. And you can be saved today. And you will be saved today, if you are saved today, by grace. And God will give you faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. And you'll believe what God has to say as Noah believed what God had to say. And you can live a perfect, complete life that gives testimony of your knowing the Lord. And you can spend the rest of your life after you leave here today walking with God. If you have the whole package. As we have heard already today, I repeat, this thing called salvation, this wondrous thing called the gospel, the good news, the blessed hope. First of all, makes one a sinner. Convicts and reveals one's sin. Bringing them to what? Repentance. Turning from repentance to faith in Jesus Christ. You can be saved this morning by grace through faith. You can be His workmanship created unto good works in Christ Jesus. And you can walk with God from this moment on. All I can instruct you to do is repent and believe. Repent and believe. That's the promise of Scripture. That's the promise of my personal experience. That's the promise that anybody here who is truly saved will tell you. You see yourself a sinner. You see Christ dying for your sins, dying to be your Savior. He brings you under the conviction of your sins. You repent of your sins. You turn from your sins. In faith, you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you're His workmanship. Created unto good works, created in Christ Jesus. Verse 10 tells us that Noah begot three sons. And you need to point out or notice that God blessed Noah with three sons of faith. Because when Noah builds that ark, and Noah gets on that ark, he's going to get on that ark with his wife. When he gets on that ark, guess who else is going to be there? He's going to get on that ark with those three sons and those three wives. Now those three sons were not saved because of Noah's faith. Nobody can be saved for or because of or in the name of somebody else's faith. Everybody's got to have their own faith. Amen. And Noah had faith. He was justified by faith. He believed God. And it came time to go into that ark and he went. And his wives and his sons and their wives, they all went too because they had faith. Amen. They believed God. The Bible is very plain that nobody can be saved for another. No parent can save their children. Or no child is saved because the parent is saved. Back in chapter 5, those 10 generations that we studied, we identified those 10 generations, those 10 men as men of faith. And what did we say to you that those 10 generations did? They passed their faith along to the next generation. I ask you, as I did that time, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, are you passing your faith along to your children? In your being so consumed with them, having the fun that the world has to offer, in your being consumed with them, having all the things that the world has to offer, in your efforts to make sure they are a success as far as the world is concerned, are you passing your faith along unto them? They must believe and they must be saved in and of themselves. It is a personal thing between them and God. But what are you doing and what am I doing? What are we doing with our children and the generations to come after us? Noah had the great joy of saying he was saved. The great joy of saying, my wife is saved. And the great joy of saying, my three sons are saved. That's all by grace, I understand that. But I'm asking you, what are we doing as far as our responsibility is concerned with passing the faith along to our children? With our entering into that ark, And the Lord comes for his people and our children coming along with us. How many of God's people will leave their children behind unsaved because they never took the time to see it as important? And don't see it important by the way of, well, this is a lot of pressure. It's kind of embarrassing, but my children are saved. I wish they'd be saved just so it wouldn't be embarrassing. That doesn't enter into the equation. You don't want to pass the faith along so that you have a good feeling about your children. You want to pass your faith along to your children and see them saved, because if they die without Christ, they are forever lost. And when you go to be with the Lord, you have no hope of them coming along behind you if they've not received Christ. And they've not received Christ, I hope it's not because you have not shared with them this great need. We read in this passage of Scripture about evil times, corrupt times. And we read in all of this that Noah was not conformed to the world around him. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. These are bad times. Yep, they're probably just as bad as they were in the days of Noah, because the Bible tells us in these days it would be like the days of Noah. But are you being as true as Noah, staying away from conformity to the world? Do you look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, smell like the world? Is all that you show and all that you put forth the world? Is that all? Where's Christ? Where's godliness? A couple weeks ago we talked about walking with God. And you can't walk with God if you're unholy. You can't walk with God unless you're in agreement with Him. Noah was not conformed to the world around him, in spite of the wicked influence it had. And I thought about that. Ever so few of the elect that were still alive at the time of Noah and at the time of this text. See, it's not rocket science here. It's real easy to deduct, real easy to understand this. When we got down to those days just before the flood, there was only 8 left. Of all mankind, there was only 8 left of the elect. When the calendar said, it's time, only 8 went on that ark. There's a lot of times in history when the numbers got few. And I think we're living in a day and time where we're there again. I really believe there are very few left to be saved. My understanding of things is that when that last soul is saved, that God has chosen to save before Christ comes again, when that last soul is accounted for, Christ is coming. God's going to pour out his judgment and wrath upon the world again, not with a flood, but with the judgment of that great tribulation period. How few do there remain today of those elect ones that are going to be saved before Christ comes or before the tribulation begins? I don't know. Are you one of them? Can you see yourself a sinner? Be sickened and putrefied by your sins, revolted by your sins to where you will turn in repentance to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see yourself a sinner? Believe Jesus Christ died for your sins. Turn from your sins. Repent of your sins. Believe to the saving of your soul. There may be very few left today that can be saved, but if you'll do that, you'll be one of them. Let's stand together.